Our meditation this morning is based on verses from that passage we read, Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Throughout today, both morning and evening, one of the themes that is going to be before us is this theme of being afraid and of being in fear, and the way in which that is seen in people and the way in which it is addressed here by the Lord. How do we cope then when this kind of fear gets deep inside our lives? What do we do? How do we react when everything crumbles around us? The things that we thought that were going to last for a lifetime, and we in fact spent a lifetime constructing and building. The things that we thought would survive no matter what was thrown at them. But now they're all beginning to crack. What do we do? There is nothing. There is nothing as shattering as spiritual truth applied to our soul. When God deals with us, there is nothing deeper and there is nothing more personal than that. When the Word of God gets inside our life, all of the dressing and all of the covering of life seems to be stripped away. God's Word begins to stick with us and have an effect upon us. We begin to hear things that unsettle us. Yes, we might hear things even that frighten us. Certainly we hear new things about our soul, about our sin and our problem, about God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God gets close to us inside our life, begins to dig around in our memory, and we feel uncomfortable over what is found. And there is only one place and there is only one person who can give us the peace and the protection equal to the disturbance that we're going through. And that is the cross of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon it but who lives now to give peace as a gift to those who trust in Him. Because it is only His blood, it is only by covering of His blood that our sins will be forgiven. And we are this morning called to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do so, He gives to us the most precious of gifts. He gives us peace in our souls, peace in our conscience, peace at the prospect of meeting with God. Have we then that rest? Have we this peace? There is no more important question. There is no more important experience. There is nothing more vital and necessary for us than this question and the experience it brings before us. Do we know God? And do we know Him in peace? And the prospect of meeting Him, are we at rest with it? God can indeed speak to us then, and does speak to us, when we are in the midst of that kind of fear and concern and conviction. And in the midst of it, the Lord speaks in similar tones to what we've got here before us. Fear not. And the Lord directs us and points us to the One who can bring us rest and peace. But as we go on trusting in Jesus Christ, there are fears that can come upon us in a Christian way and in a Christian life. There can be dark clouds coming into our lives. There are things, experiences come into our lives that rob us of our joy and perhaps burden us in our souls. And we can be downcast and dispirited. That's what the experience of these people were in Isaiah 41. And the Lord recognizes the fearful effect upon his people. And he deals with it here. The fears and the anxieties and the concerns that arise in us from whatever reason, from whatever source, the fears that we might now feel, the Lord here addresses them. And he seeks to speak to every one of us alone and individually. This is God's word for you and for me this morning. He sets out strong arguments. He sets out strong arguments to counter this fear that arises so quickly and easily within us. And he does so by pointing us time and again to the one place where that can be put to rest finally and completely, when we enter into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Only then can we say that I am his and he is mine. And that's a tremendous blessing, but as it brings a tremendous blessing of forgiveness and pardon, so there is this experience also for us that fears that arise are addressed and banished by God. So let us this morning, whatever be our concerns and our anxieties, however big might be the fears that we carry, let us listen to what God is saying as he addresses our spiritual concerns, as he addresses the spiritual needs of every one of us. And the first thing that we see here is the command that God gives. Fear thou not. There's a nation on the warpath. The Assyrian people were going around the Middle East mopping up nations and peoples. And they were casting a large and a dark shadow over so many other nations that were in the line to be mopped up. And that one of these nations was Judah, here that Isaiah is speaking to. And God is speaking to them and saying, don't be afraid. Authority and rule of the world remains still without God. Look what the Gentiles are doing in the verses before this. They're making their own idols and they're bowing down before their own idols and they're looking to these idols for help. But God is saying they won't help, they can't help. The one and only person who can help them is the living and the true God, Jehovah. And it is to Jehovah God the Lord draws our attention and draws our commitment. What a tremendous comfort it is to know him then in that way. So that no matter what happens round about us in life today, no matter what might suddenly surprise us in this next week or in the days that are left to us, we can turn just like these people did. And they can be at peace when we lean upon the one who rules over all events, small and great. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. We can be looking around as to what is posing harm and threat to us. We can see circumstances rising up round about us that might overwhelm us. But here we have a spiritual message that will lift us above them all. This is the distinctive experience. This is the possession of God's people. fear thou not. Don't be afraid. When we have God as our Lord, don't be afraid of what's going on round about. Yes, when God does work as He is here, some people are afraid. When God breaks in to history, when God breaks into the lives of people, yes, if we have a reason to be afraid, then we should be afraid. When the things of eternity, when sin and its consequence bear down upon us, when the prospect of meeting God becomes a pressing reality with us, these are the kind of spiritual experiences that are good for us as they lead us and bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. And it is in Jesus Christ and only in Him that we can find the peace that we need. But when we trust in Jesus Christ, then no matter what else might meet us, no matter what else might confront us, no change of circumstance, no surprise round the corner of life, no development amongst the nations, no sudden event happening on the stage of the world, none of these things will cause us to be afraid or be dismayed, because God is almighty and sovereign over them all, and that God is my Lord and my Savior. Fear thou not. We can be afraid, and there can be dismay coming upon us in so many different situations. Joshua, we know the way in which he inherited the mantle of authority from Moses, and Joshua's responsibility was to go out and to lead the people into a new realm of discovering the land that God had for them. And Joshua may well have been afraid in a measure of what was before him. How was he going to cope? He always had Moses there to lean on, but now he was alone, facing uncertain future. And that prospect can instill fear and dread and intimidation. But he wasn't really alone. God was with him. And the Lord who was with him would uphold him and strengthen him and guide him no matter what demands were laid upon him. Fear thou not. I am with you as you face the unknown. As you've got to fight against opponents, ruthless enemies. We've got to fight against troubles and difficulties that come into our lives. We've got to fight against the pressures of society bearing down upon us. How are we going to do that? When we stand for what is right, and when we take a stance for the Lord, then we have a lot of hostility bearing down upon us, pressure to compromise, fears arising within us. How do we fight and keep our moral ground? How do we keep going when we've got to constantly be at the battlefront? We can keep going. Again, with this simple message before us, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. He that is fighting for us is greater than he that is fighting against us. We're not on the losing side, we're on the winning side. Don't be afraid of the battles. Don't be afraid of the contest, simply because the Lord is with us. Or again, maybe we've got a promise from God. God has given us a promise, and we're holding on to a text and a passage of the Scriptures. And perhaps it's such a tremendously rich thing. It speaks to us and addresses a great problem that we've got in our lives, and we sometimes might be a little bit scared to lean upon it. and to take it at face value? Will it collapse when we lean upon it? Will we be supported by it? Will this promise really hold me and keep me as I lean on it now? And we're sometimes afraid. And we're sometimes scared to take it as God gives it. And the Lord, as He comes beside us with the promise, and as God speaks to us, giving us and sharing with us a text and a passage that's appropriate and tailored, it seems, for our needs. But we're scared perhaps to take it in that way. And the Lord says to us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed." God is the one who is our only safeguard. God is the one who will meet us at the very point of our needs. Rather than thinking of what is humanly possible, let us look rather to what God has promised He will do. No matter what we've got to face with and cope with tomorrow and in the days to come, no matter what might be the particular special circumstances that you and I have got to face, God's word for us today is this simple message that we've got to take with us and translate into practical applications as we trust Him, as we follow the Lord, as we have Him as our Savior. He says to us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Do we then have this tremendous comfort? It gives to us a sense of peace, no matter what is there waiting for us. But if that's the command that God gives to us, it's not a command that is airy-fairy. It's not a command that is simply words alone. It's not something that God gives to us. Sometimes therapy today is nothing more than a psychological pick-me-up. Sometimes psychology today is very effective in lifting the spirits and scattering the gloom. But that's not the way the Lord deals with us. The Lord is the God of truth, of substance, and of reality. And when He says something and when He gives us this kind of tremendous comfort, it's based upon a rock-solid, cast-iron, copper-bottomed foundation. What God is saying to us here rests upon something solid that will not be eroded, will not collapse, will not wear away, no matter how long we're leaning upon it. There are two reasons given to us here for this experience that He is setting before us. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." When we grasp hold of this foundation, when we see the basis on which it is built and stands, then that's a tremendous source of strength to us, scattering darkness and doubt and gloom. "I am with thee." Or again, as we've said in the past and as we keep on repeating it, the word order is so important, because God, dealing with us as pastorally, out of care and concern, realizing what we're going through, He comes and He says, "With you, I am." God's presence with His people. God is no distant Lord and God. He is not far off, looking on from a distance to the circumstances and events of our life. What we're told here is that God is interested in, and God is committed to, and God is present with His own. There is no greater, richer experience that any one of us can have. There is nothing more satisfying and peaceful in all of the range of human experience and the reality that is set before us here. God being with us. Whatever might be fighting for us, against us rather, whatever might be disturbing us, whatever might be troubling us in life, when we have the Lord with us, we have a reason and a foundation that can stand against anything and everything. This simple assurance that the Lord gives to His people, to us today when we trust in Him, I am with you, the assurance of His presence. He and He alone can scatter and does scatter anxieties and fears. And in their place, we're not left empty. But He gives a tremendous sense of contentment and of peace. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 13, and there the tremendous comfort that God gives, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Bringing home to us the same thing that is given here, the assurance of God's presence. And if you look at the background in which that simple text occurs, it's the ordinary everyday affairs of the needs on a daily basis, the routines of life. God is there saying, I will not leave you, no matter what you've got to face or deal with or cope with. He says He is with His people. Or again, when you go to Romans chapter 8 at the very end of it, Paul has been standing on a pinnacle, as it were, and he's been putting down the gauntlet and he's been challenging all of the great streams and forces that he can gather together underneath different headings, life and death, principalities and powers and such like. And he sees all of these forces coming against the Christian, and time again, they're beaten and driven back. And he says something quite astonishing, consistent again with what we've got here. There is none of these things, not one of them, all comers that are invited into the ring, not one of them can stand against the presence of God with His people. And he says, none of them shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Savior. The assurance of God's presence with His people. Sometimes we can be distracted, yes. There are times when the sheer pressure that bears down upon us might shift our gaze this way or that way, sideways. And when we do, we lose the joy that we once had. And fears begin to creep into our lives from the edges. And the only way we can scatter them is by again assuring ourselves of what we had at the beginning, what we lost along the way, and what we've got to recapture again. The assurance of the Lord's presence with us. For when He is in our lives and with us, we have that peace. We have that rest. But you might say, yes, but what kind of God is with me? Who is He? What are His resources? It's all very well if we can argue with the skeptic like this. You're saying, we have the assurance of God's presence with us. With you, I am. But who is it that is with us? Who is it that is there equal to all of these needs that you've just described? And again, here we have a simple answer that we can take with us and we can think over. It's a tremendous foundation truth once again. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." And then he goes on to say, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." I am thy God, Jehovah, his power and his might to do as he has promised. All the things that God has shown himself to be, all of the qualities of his character that are bound up in the revelation that he's given of himself down through the history of God's people, his power and his might against enemies, when there was no resource with his people, when they were bondage in Egypt, God was the one who delivered them in might in a way that was breathtaking and astounding, without a single contribution from themselves. His power and his might then, and he hasn't changed, he's the same now. Can we say the same thing ourselves? Perhaps we can look back over our own history and see something that came into our lives that defied anything from us, our ability or resources. And yet God came and he had such a wonderful answer and deliverance for us. And that's the same God that we've got today. He has not changed. He does not change. The fullness of his character. But not only do we have there his power, but think also of other qualities of our God, his grace and his loving kindness. The way in which he deals with his people when they're frail and weak, sometimes even when they have a degree of perversity or obstinacy. There have been times in the Old Testament when God's people were slow to learn, dug in their feet and their heels even, and for a moment were reluctant, even resistant to change. But God did not draw the line, walk away and give them up. But the Lord graciously worked in them and drew them to himself. That's the character of our God today still with us. He deploys so many resources at work within us and around us to protect us. We lack nothing. We sometimes consider that we're living on meager rations at times. But that lack is not on the part of our God. That lack sometimes, often, always arises because of a reluctance on our part to take God at his word. Our faith and our leaning upon God isn't as it should be. And correspondingly, we're not enjoying what he gives to the full. Take him as he has promised then. Live up to the mark of what he has said he will be and he will do for us. I am with you. I am your God. And if we take God like that at his word, what is it that this verse goes on to tell us about? What is the consequence of walking with God and trusting in him as we are told here? He says, first of all, I will. And all three things that we're going to look at are prefaced with that simple commitment by God. Here is God putting his reputation on the line. Here is God putting his name at risk before the nations. Here is God tying him to these people, the Israelites. And he has said to them, I'm going to do this for these people. And all the other nations round about are their spectators. And if anything failed, if anything went wrong, if there was the slightest lack in the promise that God had given of being fulfilled, then the nations round about would have jumped on it and exploited it and used it against God and his people. The reputation of God was at risk then, and it's the same today. God has tied himself to his people, to us if we believe in him. And his reputation is at risk and on the line. Now that's a responsibility that we've got to face up to, that we don't bring anything to dishonor God, that we don't bring anything to muddy the waters or to spoil in any way his reputation and honor amongst people. We've got to walk worthy of the Lord and his calling. But that's the coin that has two sides. And the other side of it is simply this, that if the Lord is tied to his people, if he has identified with us and come beside us, and his reputation is at risk and something arises that goes beyond us, and there's no fault with us, then we can truly look to the Lord to deliver us out of it, because his name is at risk. Here we are told, I will. That's a tremendous, powerful argument we can have with God. To be able to turn round and say, Lord, you've said it. Do it. What is it the Lord has said he will do? Three simple things as we close. I will strengthen thee. Whatever demands are laid upon us, whatever we require to do in his service, God is equal to it. I will strengthen thee. How are we going to fare? How are we going to cope? How are we going to manage? We can be so apprehensive, so concerned. Will it work out well? I'm required to do this, but can I do it in a way that brings honor to the Lord? And God says, I'm beside you. I'm with you there in it. I will strengthen you. But he goes on to say, I will also help you. When we're in need, God is present with aid to help us. It's not a foolish thing to wait upon God. It's not a foolish thing to trust in God. We can be in a difficult situation. People around about us with little or no sympathy for the gospel. We've got to cope with a work situation where we're put to the extreme. We're in a situation where we're conscious that we're out of our depth. And we wait upon the Lord. We're not left to fend for ourselves. We're not left on our own. God has said it here. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my own right hand. God will sustain and preserve and protect us in time of threat. He will keep us from stumbling. Think of a little child walking along with the first few steps. And where is the parent when these steps are taken? The parent is not away doing something else. The parent isn't even at a distance from the child, but the parent is there, right there, behind, with both hands, not touching, but ready to catch if anything should happen. Keeping them from stumbling. And that's what the Lord does with his people. His own right hand, again, the reference we've got to latch on to. Right hand is a symbol of power and of might. God will exercise all his prerogatives to stand for his people and to protect his people. God is the one who will come out on their side. God is the one who will preserve them in the midst of danger. Fear not. What a tremendous comfort these verses and these words bring to us, present before us. But again, we come back to what we started with. We come full circle. These words are for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. These words are for those who trust in Him and rest in Him. These words are for those who hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear and dread is removed only as sin is brought underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Only then is fear removed. If it's not dealt with, then we must be very fearful over our very souls. We have no rest, we have no peace. But if we hear the Lord speak to us this morning, and if He's calling to us and addressing us on our spiritual need, on our spiritual state, He's speaking to us of something important. And He's telling us there is one place and only one place where fear can be banished. There's only one person that can bring peace to our souls. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He is our Savior and our Lord and our Redeemer, when He is our friend, then He brings to us and He gives to us a glorious inheritance. And part of that inheritance is what is spoken of here. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The expulsion has taken place. There is now serenity, tranquility, and rest. That's the experience of God's people. Those who trust and have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to hear. That's the challenge for us today. Do we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior? Because it is only knowing Him first and foremost that all of these rich promises and comforts we've looked at and thought of this morning, it's only then that they will come to us and bring to us a tremendous sense of relief, strength and comfort for whatever life might have for us. Not only life, but also death and what lies there further beyond. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let us pray. O gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for thy word to us this morning. We bless thee for the way in which it speaks to us of things that we need to hear. Perhaps we've heard them often in the past, but never have they come home to us with such urgency and close personal application as we have had this day. And so, Lord, our prayer is that in thy grace thou wouldst deal with us. That in thy grace, Lord, thou wouldst call us to thyself. And, Lord, that thou wouldst grant to us, as we trust in Jesus Christ thy Son, that these realities might be ours, of fear and dismay being cast out, and peace and tranquility our experience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and at verse 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, Him trust it bring to pass shall He. And like unto the light He shall thy righteousness display, and He thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for Him. Do not fret, for him who prospering in his way success in sin doth get.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.